Okay. So your right foot is bent. Your knee is standing. You're going to now take your left hand and you're going to elongate it over your head. So just lightly reach your left arm up overhead on the floor. Just let it rest on the floor. And now put your right hand again in what we'll call that back bend position. In Feldenkrais, it's also, you'll hear the word bridge position, and this is also a nomenclature, bridge position. So now you're going to again press through the foot and see if you can press through the hand a little bit too. Lift the pelvis, roll yourself to the left a little bit. Now what I'd like you to do is bring the back of your head underneath that little kind of gait that you're making with the right hand, as if your right hand were having a wristwatch. You could bring your eyes so that you might be able to see the wristwatch on your right hand. Yeah. So you bring the back of your head backwards through the right arm, and then you take it out. Mm-hmm. More and more as you do this movement back and forth, you find how the arm can organize itself so that you could actually do this, so that the hand could actually stand. And at first it may be a little troublesome, so you negotiate. You feel that the rolling of yourself left, the extension of your chest can help you do that. That's it. And more you have contact with the hand. And you're seeking to bring the back of your head underneath that right arm and see your right wristwatch if you were wearing one, which no one is, but that's the idea. Good. Okay, undo that. Rest your right arm. Bring your arms down. Bring your leg down. Please go back to the simple movement of just standing your right foot, standing the knee over the foot, and just pushing through the foot and lifting the hip and feeling how that rotates and turns your body a little to the left. Back and forth, really feeling also the seating of the hip. What I mean by that is eventually that hip returns to earth, right? It seats itself down. And then once again, you press and you lift. This is a very interesting movement in this lesson, because we have the component of extension of the spine where the front of ourselves gets longer. What you do with the knee can either support that or not support that. So if you let the knee really toss way over to the left and it doesn't elongate away from your nose, it doesn't really support extension. But if, while it's going a little bit to the left, it also elongates away from the face, i.e. the knee lengthens, that will start an extension moment, if you want to use that nomenclature, but like a traction pull through the spine, right? You will feel your midline, a line from your sternum to your pubic bone, get longer. And your chest starts to kind of thrust forward in a way. Okay. So that may just, you may be just doing a little of that, and that's okay, but it's the pattern. Always the pattern that's the deal with Feldenkrais, not the amount. Rest. Let's see how you feel in resting. Okay, let's introduce the other leg, the left leg. Bend it up, stand the foot, and there's a specific place that you can play around with. Where should that foot be? How wide apart should that foot be? How close should it be? All that. So play with that, and you'll find a place. What we're going to do is we're going to push through the foot, elongate the leg a little bit, and let your pelvis roll now to the right. And there'll be like a turning of your body to the right a little bit. That's it. Start a new place with your foot and see if you choose another place, if you like it better. Evaluate. Know it through feeling.
There'll be certain places that will be better than others. You'll feel more powerful or less extra effort needed. So you refine in that way of, I'm just feeling that. Good. Now, as you push through and you lift the pelvis and you're rolling a little bit towards the left, you can start to put your left hand in that bridge position or that back bend position. So more and more the hand has a moment of touching the ground, the palm is on the ground. So your elbow is bent, your palm's on the ground, and your fingers are more or less pointing down towards your heels, more or less. You have to maybe negotiate with that. So for some people, it may be that you use the turning, and that actually lets you even get the arm into this position, right? So it's a negotiation in the beginning, you know. Maybe you can turn and that allows the arm to get there, and then you drop your pelvis back down and lo and behold, you're in the position. Good. Rest for a moment. Bring your leg and arm down. This lesson is taken from Alexander Yanai series. It's 323, it's based on it. I'm going to morph it a bit and add some things. And it's called, I think, shoulder behind the back or something. But if I were to name this lesson, I would give it the nomenclature bridging, a means to bridging, because that's the position that the lesson centers around. Or back bend, if you want to use that nomenclature too. Okay, so left knee bent again, foot standing. Put the right arm overhead on the floor. And now we're going to add the element of the head. So bring your right arm overhead if you can, or at least outside from your body if you can, so you're not going to be rolling onto the arm. Get it out of the way. The left arm is attempting to be in the bridge position. And now you're going to add the element of bringing the back of your head through that little gate as if you could see the left wristwatch. So your head is now turning to the right and you're bringing the back of your head backwards when you're in your maximum position as if you could see the wrist of the left arm. That's it. That pulls you more and more into extension. And then you come out of it and you end up being on your back and your arm and leg are prepared for the bridge. The more you can organize your arm, then the arm becomes a position and a point of power just like the foot. But it takes some organization, and the lesson is about that. So we're just in the first steps. That's very good. See how that is for you. When do you breathe? Does the right leg allow you to roll? What happens in the chest and the ribs? Good. Okay, give that up. Rest your arms. Rest your legs. Good. Now we do something funny. We take the right arm and we're going to put it behind our back. So to do that, will you bend your knees up? Place your right palm on the floor alongside of you. What we're going to do is you're going to lift your pelvis and you're going to slide your right arm diagonally down towards the left hip. So more and more as you get more organized with this, the right fingers will actually start to poke out the left side. Does that make sense? So it's the right arm is behind your back and the fingers are underneath the pelvis. And you actually are putting weight on the hand. Does that make sense? The right. Yes, there you go. Good. And the elbow is more or less straight. Everybody can do this in standing, but when we get in this position, it's kind of funny. Okay, elongate the left leg.
I'm sorry, did you say the elbow is straight?
More or less. Yeah, can everyone stand up for a second? Everybody, yes. Stand up for a moment. Just everybody stand. And just take your right arm, just even sitting maybe, but standing, you know, and everybody can reach it. So so that you can see the right fingers poke out the left side of the left hip, right? Everybody can do that in standing, right? Pretty much, right? So what is the deal when we lie down, all of a sudden we're here, right? So it's an organization of, can you get the arm here? So there's some bending that happens and all sorts of contortions in the chest to have that happen. Now, it's a different scenario on the ground. You have constraint and the weight on the arm. But go ahead and lay down and negotiate yourself with it and see, you know, can you get it behind on the diagonal there? It's sort of a strange idea. And weight on the forearm is, and the wrist is very difficult for some of us. So, you know, you negotiate with it and put it in a position that's not painful, but that's generally the idea. Okay, once you're there, keep the right leg bent and elongate the left. Good. Now, you're going to do the motion of lifting the right hip and roll your body to the left. And then put the right hip back down. So you're pressing through the right foot to do that little roll. As you roll yourself to the left, will you do the sequence where your head also rolls to the left? So take your spine as a whole and roll to the left via pushing through the right foot and lifting the right hip. You will be rolling over your arm. That's it. And then you come back and you give your body weight onto the arm. That's nice. Good. Now rest for a moment. Keep your arm under there. Yeah, keep your leg up too. Just stop the movement. Now this time, when you lift your right hip and you roll to the left, make your head go to the right. So roll your head to the right. Now I ask you something that's very interesting. And of course, when you put your hip down, your head goes center. Now, when you roll your head to the right, does your chest decide to go with the hip, or does your chest decide to go with the head? If we had an eyeball on your chest or some sort of mark on the sternum, where's the sternum going? When your head's going to the right, does your sternum choose to marry with the pelvis, or does your sternum choose to go with the head? Funny idea. You get what I mean? The chest. I say sternum, it means chest. That's nice. Good. Okay, rest. Take your arm out. Give it a break. Give everything a break. Rest. We have a lot of differentiation in the cervical spine. Cervical spine is your neck, meaning we're very easy to immobilize everything shoulder down and just spin our head and rotate our head. We need that. So for those of you who felt, oh, my sternum is going with my pelvis in that last little thing, that means you're getting the differentiation mostly at your neck, which for most of us is habitual. If you choose to make the sternum go with the head, the differentiation is meaning the little bones spinning in opposite directions and not chunking up like a block. The differentiation is going to happen somewhere between the sternum and the pelvis, i.e. somewhere in that part of the spine, which for most of us isn't as habitual. So you can play with those two variations. We're going to do it on the left side, and I'll take you through it. Go ahead and bend both knees up. Take the left arm underneath you on the diagonal. Palm is down. And now elongate the right leg. And let's do the undifferentiated spinal movement first, which is just to lift the hip, roll everything to the right, take your head and everything to the right. That's lovely. Yeah. Many times. Just getting the idea of even rolling over one's own arm is an interesting idea. That arm, the right arm, there's a question of what should we do with the right arm? Just get it out of the way so it's not interfering. So it can have many choices of where it should be. Now, more or less, if you can decrease the bend in the elbow and get the arm more and more kind of straight, then it says something to your ribcage and your spine. When you just bend the elbow, you don't have to do anything in the spine, really. So it's doing something with the shoulder blade. That's lovely. Good. Now play with the differentiation where your head goes in the opposite direction. So as you lift the hip and roll everything to the right, your head will roll to the left. So in this, there's two ideas. One can be, I'm choosing to make my sternum go along with my hip, i.e. that's rolling right, and it's just my head, eyes, and neck that are rolling left. So feel what that feels like when your sternum goes with the pelvis. And then, after you've explored that for a little while, to your satisfaction, see what it feels like if you say, what if my sternum decided to go opposite the pelvis, slightly, and go with the head? Does that make a difference in how it feels? How that movement gets organized? When you've had enough, you just take your arm out, give it a little break, and rest on your back. Yeah, right? It is. It's some doing to lay on one's arm. This position has a lot of constraints in it. Your body weight just pressing on the arm is a constraint. So as your chest and your shoulder blade and your spine, neck, ribs get more supple, the arm actually can lay under there in quite a flat manner and take a lot of weight. But in the beginning, when it's not that organized, you can't put that much weight on it because it's not in the sound alignment where it can take a lot of weight. And you'll know that because it won't feel safe. So you just put the amount of weight that feels safe. You know, put it in a place that feels safe. And we go from that starting point. Let's go back and bend both your knees again. Let's go back to the right arm. Put the right arm again underneath there. Feel what it needs to do to reach that blade and reach that hand. So maybe the hand can even poke out to the left a little bit. Okay, now this time, elongate the right leg. So now with the left foot, go ahead and roll yourself a little bit to the right. So you'll lift the left hip and you'll let everything go to the right and then come back. When I say everything, I mean chest, head, pelvis, belly button, everything. Yeah. That's nice. Interesting, isn't it? Slowly, gently. Can you keep track of yourself? Where do you go vague? Do you lose parts of yourself as you do this movement, or can you really hold your self-image complete or more and more towards being complete? Do you know what it is that you're even doing? Now explore same hip movement, same foot pressing, but explore the head going in the opposite direction. So when you're rolling your pelvis to the right, your head's now going to roll to the left, and then everything's going to meet back in the middle. Gently, can you track yourself? And depending on your taste, you may have had enough, so you bring the arm out and you take a rest. Lesson can dramatically improve function of the arms and the shoulder blades and the chest and posture and all that. But you have to approach it carefully. It's one of those lessons that has pretty big demands in it. So less is more, gentle is better. Let's try the idea with the other side. So go ahead and bend your knees. And it'd be the right arm, correct? Yeah? What arm were we just on? Help me. We were just doing the right, so now it would be the left arm behind us. Thank you. Thank goodness you're here. Now you're going to let the left leg go long. And you're going to lift the right hip by pressing That's it. And you're going to let everything go to the right. Over that arm in a way. Yes, thank you. So as you press with the right foot, let me get oriented with the class so I'm left, right, and when I do facing the class, it's like a mirror image and I get confused sometimes. So yes, so as you press through the right foot, the belly button and the pelvis will be rolling left and you'll let the chest and the head and everything kind of go for a little ride to the left, rolling over your arm. That's it, gently figuring it out. And then try the other combination where your head rolls in opposition. And that's it. And actually, in this combination, there's two combos. There's, does my chest decide to go with the pelvis? And am I differentiating at the cervical vertebra? Or am I leading the chest with my head and I'm differentiating somewhere in the thoracic level? You know, which is easier, which is more familiar, explore both of those. Please be kind to yourself. Maybe you need a break and you go back to exploring. So for some people, this position, just putting the arm back there is, you know, needs to be taken in small dosages. Doses. That's what I wanted to say. We're only tongue-tied tonight. That's good. Okay, rest. Some of you are spinning your head. Do you know what I mean when I say spin? Spinning is when the head is rolling but not covering distance. Rolling would be, I roll a basketball on the floor from here, point A to point B. It traverses space. That's rolling. So everybody just roll your head and you'll feel there's like a little archy motion that your head will make. That's rolling. So at any point, there's a new point on your head and it's contacting a new point on the floor. So if you had ink on the bottom of your head or paint, you would actually be making a smear mark, right? Rest that for a moment. Spinning is we'd want one paint mark on the floor. Now spin your head, right? There would just be like a blotch on the floor, but you wouldn't travel across the floor, right? It'd be like the ball just spinning in place. So rolling and spinning. Sometimes we do a combination of both, but it's good to be clear on what's rolling and what's spinning. Rest. Okay. Now, let's go ahead with the legs long and put your hands in the ridge position. So bring your arms up and over so they're in that back bend position. Moshe doesn't give you a break here. So here's the idea. Can you press through one arm, bring your head behind that little gate, and your body will roll, and then roll onto your back, and then do the other. And let the chest rise and press through. The pelvis definitely rolls, but now we're keeping the legs kind of long and wide. The legs will be wide, and they may do all sorts of things, but basically we're seeing what all this feels like. Okay, let's stop that for a moment. Rest. Pretty big demand. Let's go back to just the right side. Will you bend your right knee, stand your right foot, put your right hand in the bridge position and your left arm out of the way, overhead preferably. Okay? And go ahead and press through and bring the back of your head through that little gate as if you could see your wristwatch and then come back. Yeah, do that a few times. Pressing through, elongating. That's lovely. Notice in order to do this, the shoulder lifts, right? Just like the hip lifts, the shoulder lifts. And the elbow elongates away. It moves in space, but it elongates away from the knee. They get further apart, and then they get closer. As you go onto your back, they get closer. That's lovely. Roll, roll, roll. Feel how the spine rolls, and the back of the head goes backwards. That's good. Okay, let that side rest. It takes some doing to organize the hand so that it can have power to push. It's like anything else, right? If I don't have my foot well organized, like pretend I'm Charlie Chaplin, you know how he has sort of the duck feet, right? He's really angled out to the side. That's not a leg that's organized to run a marathon, like a sprint race, right? You're not going to win if you're really like that because you're just not in the position for good running, right? So eventually you get into a position more and more with the hand and the arm and the whole kit and caboodle that gives you a position where you can actually push through the palm. And it feels very easy when you get there. Let's try the left side. It's the getting there that takes the organization, right? So be gentle with yourself. Try the left side now. So your left foot is bent, your left knee is bent, and your foot thrusts through the ground, your pelvis turns, the back of the head goes through that little gate, and you go as if to see your left wristwatch. More and more, as you do this, trying to find the place where your hand can have power. So you may get in the full position and then reposition your hand, or keep repositioning your hand to feel how you could do that. Maybe it needs to be closer to the shoulder. Maybe the fingers need to rotate a little bit. You know, you're looking at that idea. That's good. Okay, rest yourself. So we're going to go back to the variation that we did when the legs were long. And you put both arms in the bridge position. Now, this variation knocks out the push through the foot. You have to generate the same idea, but now you're generating it proximally, right? I.e., one could say in your core and in your hips or whatever, because you don't have your feet anymore. I mean, the feet move, but they're not in the same position. So you're going to go once to one side, once to the other, and it biases you much more towards what you have to do with the spine, what you have to do with the chest, what you have to do with the arms gently, how you have to use the head, taking it back. Go gently with yourself. That's really good. And the legs do what they do. They're not immobilized at all. They help follow. But you can see this is a lot more proximal work, yes? Yeah. Uh-huh. Good. Okay. Give that up, please. Rest. Good. Now, for many of us, now that shortens your back extensors because we work them so. So let's go ahead and bend your knees. And could you just bring your knees over your chest and hold on to the knees? Right to right, left to left. And please pick your head up. And do a flexion moment, look between your knees, and then put your head back down. And if you're comfortable, you leave your head up and you rock a little side to side, pressing the back, elongating the back as you do so. Take a rest when you need to. Good. Good. Now let your legs just be on the floor, feet standing. Roll your head a little bit to release your neck. Roll your head a little bit side to side. Gently. Good. Take your right arm and put it underneath you again on the diagonal. So you're laying on it. So the fingers will poke out maybe a little bit to the left of the left hip. That's it. Elongate your legs once you're in that position. Now, we're going to do what in the gym or in therapy is known as a posterior pelvic tilt. That is engaging the abdominals so that the pubic bone shortens towards the sternum. It's almost like tucking your tail. You're going to do that and raise your head at the same time. So it's an abdominal contraction. You're shortening in the front, and then you release the pelvis, and you put your head back down. And do that a few times. Uh-huh. Yes. Funny idea. That's it. Maybe just a couple more times, and then you take the arm out, and you release your head, and you roll it on the floor. And rolling your head. Resting your head, resting your jaw, resting your upper teeth. Letting your face just be placid. And now let's try, bend the knees up, take the left arm underneath yourself, palm down, angle to the right. Maybe the fingers are even poking out a little bit to the right of the right hip, and then elongate your legs. So your spine no longer is straight, right? You've put it in some kind of contortion here. And go ahead and activate the pubic bone and raise the pubic bone as you raise your head. That's just like tucking your tail. It's some flexor work or abdominal work, shortening yourself in the front. That's it. Uh-huh. And isn't it interesting how the flexors need to work here, because we're not symmetrical. You feel the difference in one hip and the other. Maybe you feel it as stretch. Now put your right hand behind your skull. Carry your head. As you lift your head, carry it. And gently let your head come back down. Just do a few where you actually carry your head. You're still doing the pubic bone. Every time you lift your head, you're activating and bringing that pubic bone up. Good. Now, take your arm away and let your head do it all by itself, right? So pubic bone and lifting head. Do you exhale as you do that? Do you hold your breath? And take your arm out. Release your head. Just roll your head a little bit left and right to release your neck. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Let's roll onto your belly. And be in a position on your belly. You know what, Maggie? Let's move your glasses so that they're protected. Do you want me to put them to the side? Yeah. On your belly, put your forehead straight down on the floor. Just lay there. Now, put your hands up by your head. And we're going to take the right hand and place it on the back of our skull. And with the left hand, you're going to see if you can
either grab the index finger and the middle finger and possibly the wrist, and you're going to lead and you're going to pull your right wrist or your right fingers over to the left so that your arm starts to cradle more and more your head. The right arm kind of cradles your head. Mm-hmm. Is that making sense? Let me do that again. Forehead down. So, can you take a grasp of your right index finger and middle finger with your left hand? There you go. Now, pull with your left hand to the left so that your left elbow will arc down a little bit towards the side of your waist. And in doing so, do you see how that snugs your right arm nearer to your head? It's as if we want the head and the right arm to be glommed together a little bit more. Uh-huh. Your forehead, it may roll a little bit.
Do you want your head to slide on the head?
You want the hand to slide on the head so that the two arms move. Yeah? In doing so, the right arm approaches, the right upper arm approaches the side of the head. Good. Rest for a moment. So again, let's go ahead and stand up for a moment. These movements are so fascinating how easy they are in standing, because in standing we have all degrees of spatial cheating. Right? We have all sorts of movement that we can do in standing. And then all of a sudden when we get to a constraint, right? Yeah, so do that in standing. Put the right hand behind the head, hold the wrist, and move everything a little bit to the right, and you can see how the left elbow will kind of approach the waist, and then the right head and the arm get more towards each other, right? And we can all do that in standing because there are not the constraints of the floor. It changes when we have the floor. But that's basically what we're doing, right? It's kind of bracketing the head in the right arm. Kind of making a nest for the head. Okay, come on back down to your belly. Don't expect that it will be as much as is in standing, because now we have the constraint of the floor, and it's going to make you have to organize somewhere else. So you just do it to comfort. If you can grab the wrist, great. So again, we're leading the right arm to the left, and we're pulling with the left arm. Once you get it in a position that you feel, okay, that's where I can go fairly comfortable, listen to this. Hold there, and I would like you to roll over onto your right side and then onto your back, holding the head in this position. All the way over, and then once you get onto your back, hang out there for a moment, leave the arms where they were, and then roll back over to your right side, and back over to your belly. It's a big movement, Yeah. So we're just doing rolling to the, over the right side. We're not going back and forth. Just to the right. And your legs are fairly long. They're going to do a lot of stuff, but it's not about thrusting through the foot. You can do the leg however you want to do the leg, but it's not about thrusting through the foot. You can bend, you can do whatever. Yeah. Isn't it interesting? Yeah. Uh-huh. So we're looking at elongating here. Do you feel that?
Yeah.
How is it?
It's really tight.
It's really, right? Yeah. So you just go as best as you can. Oh, that's good. That's good. It's like boot camp, this movement. It's a really rough movement. Yeah. Okay. Good. Rest for a moment. So, everybody rest. So there's a lot of constraints here, right? First of all, you don't have your feet that you can press with, right? You know, we're using the leg, but in a very biasing us ourselves proximally, you know? I was at the aquarium over the weekend. And they have sea stars in the tidal pool place where you can touch. And the little demo lady, she took one of them in a bucket, kind of in a bin bucket, and she had it upside down. And so when starfish get put upside down, they don't like it. Right? That's not their normal orientation, and they know it. They know that they're upside down.
And they do this interesting rocking back and forth until eventually they have these little tube sucker feet that they can eventually curve a couple of those suckers, and then they flip themselves over. It's not unlike what we're doing tonight with this little variation. It kind of looks, reminds me of the starfish thing. Can you all sit up except for three of you? Let's choose Maggie, Liat, and Sharon, if you would. Can the other three, four of you, watch these three, and then we'll switch so that you can see there's many, many variations of how people will organize this idea of going back to belly. So be on your belly, Maggie, and everybody be on your belly that's doing the demo. And you take your right arm behind your head and hold it with your left hand, and you pull the arms a little bit to the left, so you bracket your head with your right arm, you lengthen the right. Once you get there, go ahead, you guys gather around so you can see. Maybe stand. And once you get there, you're going to roll onto your right side and then roll onto your back. And then reverse it. However you do it, it's okay. We're just watching how it can be done. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So your arms pretty much just stay. You get them in the position and you figure it out. Uh-huh. Like, how do we do this? You know, where's the clunk? Is there a clunk? How are the legs helping? You know, it's interesting. Three different versions of how they do it. But something is common with these two, especially with Liat. So let's watch Liat for a second. So go on your back. You guys can rest. Maybe you watch Liat with this for a moment. Do you mind if we all watch you? Okay, go on your back. And do your head thing, how you have it. Now, what is the initiation for her to get on her belly? And why did Moshe throw this in as part of this lesson? You know, like there's always a method behind his madness. So watch her initiation. Go. Yeah, it's that. It's arching, right? And not only with the low back, but there's something about, right? There's something there that the pelvis is doing that, right? It's that proximal. And you probably feel that within yourselves when you do that. Go ahead and do the whole movement, right? So there she goes. Now, what makes it so she doesn't fall? Why doesn't she go clunk, right? So I'm not going to answer that. But there's things of how you organize so that it's not, because this can be a really clunky movement, right? So how do you figure out the legs so that it's a soft, relatively soft movement and that's not clunking, falling? Let's switch the groups. So those of you who were demoing, you stand up. And we'll watch the other four. Do it in your own way. Because it's not that there's a right or a wrong way to do it. Do it in your own way. So Julie over here has a really different method, and it's working for her. So she's on her back. The way she initiates coming over is to fold, to flex, and then she switches it into extension. You initiate always from extension, but not Julie. She's got sort of a flexion deal and then extension. By the way, this movement is a reversal from flexion to extension, right? That's what this movement is, with side bending thrown in. Yeah. Uh-huh. Similar here. There's this idea, and then he's got the leg that helps. He uses the weight of the leg. If you guys are tired, you know, go ahead. Maggie did that too. Maggie had this great idea of tossing the leg over, right? Because then that got her pelvis to do what she knew her pelvis needed to do, right? So her legs kind of, and Suzanne does the same thing. There's like a scissor, right? And then she goes over. That's not wrong. It's just a different way of doing it. It still has that extension flexion moment, and we're focusing on extension. Good. Rest, everyone. Thank you for showing all the different ways that we can interpret the idea. And if you ever have the patience to watch starfish do this thing, they'll do it for you at the aquarium. Just ask them to take one of the sea stars out, put it in a bucket upside down, and it's kind of interesting. It's a slow process, but they end up turning themselves over. Okay, so one of the virtues of that movement is because
how you have your arms around your head, it really elongates a side, the ribs on your side. So let's do it on the other side. Let's go back onto the belly. Your head, forehead down to the ground. And gently take your left arm with your right hand and begin the process of leading the left arm to the right so that the arm starts more and more to bracket. Now some of us have shoulders. One shoulder can just do it so easily and one can't. So again, you figure out how you can do it. For some people, just lifting the elbows in this position is like, you've got to be kidding me, right? And once it gets there, you can start rolling. And it would be this time rolling over your left. It's almost like you're getting your arm out of the way. It's funny that, you know, in the Alexander Yonai series, Moshe just does these like, you know, sequences, just, I don't know, maybe he was impatient at the sort of the near end of his life, but so demanding. There are about 5 lessons that prep you for this particular movement that I know of, right? And he just throws it in the middle of a lesson. Just do this movement, you know? It's just interesting. It's a different style of a lesson, you know? Just see if you can do it.
Did you say that
there's like a zillion preparatory lessons just around pulling the arm behind and how you organize that. And we're just bypassing all that and you guys are just doing it and rolling. It's an interesting choice of Moshe's. It's a demanding choice. You don't want to screw up your shoulder, so you negotiate, okay? It's a high demand for some people's shoulders. And yet, sometimes it feels really delicious, right? If you can get it organized, it can feel really nice. How do you control the fall?
Uh-huh.
Oh, like why would we do this just off the bat? Well, you know, it's just interesting. I don't know. In this particular lesson, he just throws it in. But I know from my training that there's a lot of prep lessons even just to do this movement. So I just throw that in there. It's trivial. Trivial pursuit, right? Tidbits. Go ahead and rest. And whether or not you did the whole movement or not, just sometimes asking your system for it starts the nervous system organizing. Especially if you did it without pain and discomfort and you did it in the realm of what you were capable of, it sets a pattern in the system. That's the beauty of this. It's all about just clicking into the patterns, you know, and we're better for it. Because at some level, the nervous system recognizes, why would you do this? Right? And what does that call for? Good. Okay. Feet are going to bend. You're on your back, please. Feet aren't going to bend. Knees are going to bend. And feet are going to stand. There you go. Let's be precise. There we go. Please place your both hands into that bridge or back bend position. Now, here's the idea. It's not a full back bend. It's lifting your pelvis to help the arms. And you're not going to unweight your head. You're going to push through, lift your pelvis, push through your arms, and you're going to slide the back of your head and push into the floor until you're more and more towards the crown or the top of your head. And then you're going to come back. So you're not lifting your head off the floor, you're sliding it on the floor, and that helps the chest go up, and then you're coming back to your start position. So like a full back bend would be your head in the air, and that's not what we're doing. The head is keeping in contact. You're going to bring your head backwards so that you go more and more to the top of your head. And in doing so, you push through the arms. Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. Gently. That's really good. That's good. Yeah. Make it safe for yourself. Where do the arms get their power? Or do they? Rest if you need. They don't. Someone's saying, they don't get any power.
lift your pelvis off the floor a little bit. So you got the arch going, but lift the pelvis. There you go. Oh, yeah, yeah. Ah, is it hurt? Yeah. Okay. Rest for a moment. So someone's going, they can get the pelvis, maybe the pelvis lifts, but then they can't get the chest to lift, and where's the coordination of it? It's true. It's like I can get one piece, I can seesaw it, but to get the two pieces together is a very, very interesting, and it, for most people, it hinges in our chest. So think of pressing the head backwards. That's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not bad. Rest. Phew. Not worse for wear and tear, but improved. Good. Rest. Rest, rest. Lavinia, was this movement pretty easy for you? Not too bad. Can I see you do it for a second? Do you have enough slide on your mat? Is your head getting stuck? Come off of it then. Go on the floor. Yeah. Sometimes the sticky yoga mats don't let you have any slide. Yeah, make sure your socks may need to come off. So everyone's resting. I'm asking a student, for those of you listening at home, I'm asking a student to demo because I may want to show something between two students. Lovely, lovely. Okay, that's all I needed to see. Okay, so if you're comfortable showing, let's look at you for a sec, and then we're going to look at you too, if that's okay. Yeah, okay. So come, gather around. And this is just to show what's possible, you know? So come gather around and see, where does she organize it? How does she do it? Just easy. Doesn't have to, you have to be your maximum. Go ahead. Uh-huh. There you go. And then come back down. So some of it has to do with the organization of how can the elbows get over the hands. If the elbows are way out here, the arms are don't have power, which has to do with can I even get them in the right position. Go ahead again. That's it. And so something also in the chest, go back down. So something also in the ability of this to come up, right? To rise. Maybe one more time if you're not too tired. So I'm getting the impression with her in a way that, go ahead and rest. While she's hanging out in a backbend or a bridge, the legs and the head and the arms are starting to harmonize. It doesn't look that hard for her to do it, and it almost looks like if I could just take the spine and go whoop, right, the two bottom ends would do their thing, right? They just would harmonize. So let's go. You can watch now, and let's go ahead and anyone else who wants to demo too, you know, lie down and we'll look. So go ahead. So we're just looking at another student. See, it's better for him watching. Do you feel how you just improved? You just did something different than you were doing. So he's not doing what he was doing. Before, I'll show you a bit what he was doing. I'll show you what you were doing. Go ahead and watch me for a sec. Before, what Sharon was doing was that the bottom half was so much more clear for him that there was like a loading this way, right? So there was that going on, right? So there was like, and then my head, it's like so heavy and my arms are so heavy because I've thrusted all the way this way, which really in this idea is like, I want to like arch, I want to like bend that way, right? So it's the question of how do I get the hands and how do I make it so that these two ends harmonize and we just go into a harmony of extension. That was like 50% different than, anyway, so good. Because that probably felt better on your arms and felt better on your head. Yeah, okay. So I don't know if that makes any difference for you, but go ahead and down and try it again and see. Something has to go up. You push, the head pushes, the arms push, the feet push, so that something in between it all goes up gently, 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 gently. So that's it. Okay, breath. It's this part. Yeah. It's this part. So we'll do something really gentle, okay? I'm not going to do much. I'm just, it's going to be tiny, tiny. That. No, rest. Ah, how's that? Just, you're not going to do much.
Yeah.
You're not going to do, love the way you're doing your head. Excellent. Yeah. That's enough. Wonderful. Excellent. Because we are talking to the very part of your spine that that's sort of like,
doesn't move. Yeah.
Well, not that it doesn't move, but it's like the highest demand. So wonderful. You'll be better for having tried it in the realm of what you can do. Good. So that double thing is much more demanding than if you just do one side. So lengthen one leg and one arm. One arm overhead, one arm long, and then the opposite side will be in your bridge. And just do one side and pass your head behind the bridge. That's it. And that should feel, at this point, a lot easier than what we just did. You know? Uh-huh. And maybe you have more of a sense of the chest doing something. The chest going forward and thrusting and turning and having that hand stand. So here, when you do that, you don't need to pick up this side. It's really a roll. It's a roll. Yeah, how easy can that get? It's a roll. Yeah.
But it didn't seem like it was lifting up.
Yeah, yeah. That's nice. See how easy that is now?
Uh-huh.
Go to the other side. Switch sides. That's really good. Uh-huh. See how nicely your arm is really getting more here than over here, right? I don't know if you feel that. Maybe you feel that it's something in through here. Yeah, something in the ribs. Gentle, gentle. Put your head back. Good. Wonderful. Bravo. Rest. It's a demand. Rest, rest. Ah. Good. Let's do a little bit of flexion work to kind of ease out the low back a bit. Bring your knees over your chest. You all know what I even talk about. You're such seasoned Feldenkrais students. So, yes, you're going to raise your head and look between your legs and rock a little bit. You can either rock to and fro or side to side. Breathing as you do that. Just letting the abdominal contraction neurologically release the back extensors, which we've just really worked. And hopefully not overwork the lumbars, but try to get the whole back to be extending. Good. Rest your head when you need to. And then maybe you roll your head a little bit side to side to release your neck. Yeah, that's so nice the way you guys are doing that. Figuring out what you need after such exertion. And finally, just bring it to a pause and let everything rest. The only part left of this lesson is for you to evaluate the changes in yourself. Evaluate when you come up to stand eventually how it is that your blades set, your chest, the carriage of your head, something in your spine. You may feel very different, maybe even in your hips. Okay, so let's do that. Let's come up and use standing as a baseline place, because we're so often standing, of just feeling how you are. What feels different? It's the orientation of your hands. How do the shoulders and the arms hang now? What's the sense of the chest? You know, how's your pelvis? How's your back? You know, Do you feel shorter, more grounded? Do you feel springy? Do you feel, you know, heavy? All those things. I don't know what you're going to feel. Anyone want to say what they feel from the get-go? An adjective?
Stretched.
Stretched where? On the sides. The waist on up to the armpit. Anyone else? Shoulders are heavier and towards the ground. Okay. Walk a little bit and just feel how, even if it's very subtle, there's definitely been a change in your way of moving after a lesson like this. What's your breathing like? What's the capacity in the rib cage and in the lungs and in the chest and in the shoulder blades? How's the base of the neck feel? How free is the head? Do the feet feel underneath you and sure? Yeah. Yeah. Good. And you can do whatever movements you want to and just test it. Test and see. Ah, what is that? Yeah. Good. I had been cooking, I don't know, some sort of thing in my shoulder. I don't know, rotator cuff or something. And when I would take off my shirt, you know, when you'd cross like a sweatshirt, and just that movement, my left shoulder wasn't tolerating that really well. And I did this lesson, you would think, my gosh, you have something with your shoulder and you do this really hard lesson. And it's better. And we didn't really do a lot of turning, but somehow it just rearranged something in my shoulder that made that much, much better. So you never know how you're going to pop out. Signing out.